Yeah, that's thank you for that scripture. For those on the tape, it was Isaiah 54, 1 to 3. I'm just going to pray, if that's all right. Just maybe, if I ever get up to speak, I'm always very, very expectant that God is going to turn up and move amongst us, and he's going to speak into your hearts and your lives. And so would you maybe just like to put your hand out and your hands out if you would like to, and let us just pray. We just say, Lord, today we just pray that you would come in this place. We thank you that you've been here already moving amongst us, but we invite you to speak right into our hearts, to encourage us, to challenge us, to nudge us, to take us to those heavenly places in you, Christ Jesus, this morning. And we just thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your majesty. We thank you for your power. We thank you for all your authority and all your dominion, that you're over all and in all and through all. And so whatever we're going through, you are the way maker. And we trust you, Lord. We just want to say that, Lord, to you this morning. We trust you. Amen. Can it help me this morning? I don't do good with quiet. So for people who don't really know me very well, if you've got an amen or a hallelujah, it's really helpful when you're doing a talk, because you just feel like you're talking to people and you just sat there and you're just thinking, is actually anything is happening with anybody? So an amen or a hallelujah, if you really want to get to your feet and have a clap, though, that's okay. Yes. God, I just felt God gave me this prophetic word, and I'm going to share it with you. You will not be able to retain it all. So if anybody wants to photocopy it afterwards, you can do. Take a picture of it on your phone. That's absolutely fine. But I'm going to speak a little bit about this morning. Just take out 3 points. I'm getting like a sermon, but I definitely am not a preacher. I've just come to encourage you and share something this morning. So this is the word that I felt God say. I am coming to rearrange you. The same church, but it will look and it will feel completely different. This church will be a place where the atmosphere is heavy with my glory and presence. This church is where the supernatural will be natural, and my power will be demonstrated with a greater measure, and it will come in the surrender. Surrender is the key that unlocks the revelation of heaven. Because in surrender, trust and obedience is found. The two beauties I love to receive. I want you to stop limping between two opinions. If it's me you serve, then give me everything. Your love, your time, your commitment and devotion. I want to take you to deeper places. And only as you give me everything will you be able to connect with my heart on a deeper level. Allow me full access to your heart. I do not want lip service. I want you to honor me with all your heart. Then watch and be amazed as you see me demonstrate my glory and power. And I feel, so just let that just sink into you. I know you will not be able to hold it all, but like I say, as I just start to just unpack a little few things, and I'm a bit crazy because I don't really keep with notes, so you'll just have to keep up with me. And so when I had this Isaiah 54, I just I've had this before about lengthening, enlarging the place of our dwelling place, our tents, lengthening our cords and strengthening our stakes. And I spoke about it, if you can remember, a long time ago, that we had to undo these knots that would hinder us from being really stretched out. And I said to you as a church, there was growth coming. God wanted to bring growth. And if you look around today, there's a lot of people that are not here that normally come every week, but we have so many new people. And I want to say, God is on the move and he's doing glorious things. And if you've gone for the first time, I want to say, stay, because this is a great place. And I had a sense, in this piece of scripture, obviously, the children of Israel were in exile because they didn't really listen to God's nudges and challenges, and they didn't want rearranging. So they got hypocritical, and they got prideful, and they were lost in the sin, and they were following other idols, and God had to do something. And I don't know if you understand that. When God means business, he means business, because he's a holy God, and we don't mess with God. And when he wants to rearrange us, we've got to allow him to do that. And so the Holy Spirit is glorious, and he is the one who comes to challenge us. He is the one that comes to nudge us. He is the one that comes to encourage us in these things, that some things in our life have to change. And Dave spoke wonderfully last week, so if you didn't hear that, listen again on the tape. And he was talking from Micah 6, and he was talking about that we should love justice and loving kindness, and we should walk humbly before our God, because he's glorious and he's mighty. And so we have to walk humbly, because God is big. He's a big God, and we're small, but we can do big things. So when God is saying, expect great things, I want to tell you, expect great things, because this is a church that is expectant of great things. And so when we're expectant of great things, we have, God works through us and in us, but we've always got to allow God to do the thing that he wants to do to make us more like Jesus. And so we have Jesus living in us, but we want to look more and more, so we have to put off some things of the flesh. And so we have to look differently. And Dave was speaking just about, he asked this question, and it was really important, and I didn't want to leave it. He said, how do we stay alive? And I was just like thinking about that for just one little moment. And I was thinking about Ephesians, because we're in Ephesians. So if you come again, we're in the book of Ephesians, and we'll be starting, Dave will start it, not next week because we're in the joint service, but the week after. And Ephesians is a great book because it's full of doctrine, and it's full of truth, and it's full of who we are in Jesus Christ. It tells us of our identity, and it tells us how we should live. So it just doesn't tell us who we are. It doesn't just tell us our justified state and our adopted state, that we belong in the heavens. It tells us how to live. And so it's going to be exciting. I love Ephesians. And so it says here in Ephesians 2 verse 4, but God being rich in his mercy because of his great love, that we, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So that's why you're alive, because you're being made alive together with him. You're not alive of your own making, but you're alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I just had this sense of this being in heavenly places. Well, I believe that God wants to do some rearranging with us, and because he wants us to understand what it means to be in heavenly places and live from heavenly places. So if you know your scriptures, you'll know in Colossians, it says, set your mind on the things above. So in here, in Ephesians 2, it's saying that you are in heavenly places. That's who you are. That's what's happened to you now. You're seated in heavenly places because you're in Christ Jesus. And then we move on, and it tells us then to set your mind. And I think that this is what God wants to do in this rearranging us. He wants to set our minds in these places of having the lenses of faith. And we need to have these new lenses put in, because sometimes what we do, we're so busy looking at the natural, we're so looking at the earth, that we don't see the heavenly things. We don't see what God can do. And when God says he's way maker, he is way maker. He didn't say the darkness would go. The darkness will only go when Jesus returns. He didn't say that. He said he would make a way for us. So whatever difficulties and what issues you're in, he always makes a way through. And so remember that. Remember who your God is. Always remember who your God is. And so don't look down, look up. And that absolutely changes everything. And so when God is saying here that his presence is coming and he wants the supernatural to be natural to you, I want to tell you that's where he wants you to live from. That the supernatural is natural to you. And I was praying with Dave this morning as we were walking. So we get up on a morning. I would say most mornings, just let me have a drink. I'll tell you in a minute why. I've actually got some braces, some aligners in, and I'm having to talk over them and it makes your mouth really dry. And so when we get up on a morning, we just kind of really set off and pray and just kind of put our attention on our gaze on Jesus. I want to tell you to do that. When you get up, the first thing you do, get in heavenly places, because if you don't, the first thing you'll do, you'll be in earthly places. I don't know who gets up and the first thing you do, you turn on your radio or you turn on your telly to listen to the news. Don't do it. The first thing you need to do is pray. The first thing you need to do is set your mind in the heavenly places, because the earth is a mess. The earth is a mess and it'll make you a mess. But if you set your mind in the heavenly places where Christ Jesus, you'll be able to live from the supernatural, because this is what he does. And as I was praying and I was saying this to Dave, this morning when I woke up, we kind of think about these supernatural things, and he's nice, he's just come in with a baby. Little Callie, hooray! And this is a miracle baby. So a miracle, we prayed for a miracle and a miracle happened. This is a miracle baby. But you know, can you show us, Nye, come out and show us. Just lift her up. I'll be able to get back somewhere to what I'm saying. No, you're okay. Oh, she's only an hour late. Here she is. Oh, she's beautiful. There's little Callie Taylor. Oh, she's gorgeous. Well done, Nye. Well done. She's a little miracle baby that we prayed for. And so there's our God, the way maker. And we all know that by Nye's testimony. You can hear that on the website. I'm promoting the website. Get on it and listen to all the talks. They're great. And so Nye gives this wonderful testimony on there. And I just had this sense that God was saying to me, the supernatural as well, because we tend to think that it's all signs of wonders of healings and the demonstration of God's power. But the greatest supernatural thing that's natural to us is that we've got the living God living in us. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit with us every day. And not only that, we've got God's heart. And we need God's heart. Every day you need to know what's on God's heart, because without understanding God's heart for your life and understanding, you won't understand that he has called you for purpose. So when he rearranges you for a purpose, for a reason, not to leave you stagnant, not to leave you not moving, but he's called you to move in the spirit. He's called you to be like Jesus was when he demonstrated just all the glory of his Father upon the earth, and he came and reflect the true glory of the Father. And when he did that, he was led by the Spirit and he was anointed and he was full of the Holy Spirit. Well, get up on a morning and stand there and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. If you feel like you're empty and if you feel like you're weary and if you feel like you've got nothing to give, well, you need to shout out how we desperately need the God of heaven in our lives. You can't run on empty. I want to tell you that if you're not in the word, if you're not in worship, and if you're not in prayer, you will be, in the end, you will spiritually die. You will spiritually die, I promise you. But if you want to keep alive, you will keep reminding yourself of the gospel of amazing grace. That this wonderful Savior came out of the glory of heaven. And he died on a cross, not to make your life all rosy, that you were a sinner and you needed a saviour and you needed your sins forgiven. Yeah. And you will know that It's so important that you operate from this place of the gospel being the thing in you that ignites something in your soul. You were dead in your trespasses. I was dead in my trespasses. But Christ, God made you alive together in Christ Jesus through the cross, through his blood. Apply the gospel every morning when you wake up. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you forgave me for my sins. And because it's a continuation of this wonderful work that God does, this continuation that God, by his Spirit, comes and tells us these things. And even in my life, for all of you, the Holy Spirit will be trying to rearrange you, be trying to tell you those things to help you to look more Christ-like. And so, like I say, I've had some things going on with my teeth, and I had to have two teeth out. It was horrendous. I said to Dave, I've just got this image that, you know, when a dentist gets on your chest and they're going backwards and forwards and they can't get them out. Oh, he said, that won't happen. He said, you know, that ain't it. They'll just pull it out and it'll come out. So I'm very, very nervous. I've got Jules and Eleanor coming to pick me up, and that was very, very kind of them. I'm very nervous. We're in the middle of Christmas experience and I have to go for these two teeth out. And, well, it exactly happened as I imagined in my head. It took 10 minutes each side to get them out. If you didn't crunch backwards and to the side, backwards and forwards. And I was sweating from top to bottom. And I felt, and then it didn't stop there. I got this dry socket that I don't know if anybody's had it afterwards, where the nerve endings are all raw. And I could have got my teeth and smashed all my teeth out on a side. It was that painful. And then I'd already had this word about God rearranging, and God said to me, there you go. You've got the same mouth, but the teeth are all being rearranged. And in the rearranging, there might be a bit of pain. There might be a bit of discomfort. But let me tell you, the outcome will be loads better. And so hopefully I'll stand at some point down the line, maybe in a year's time, and be able to say, here he did it. But I want to tell you, it's constant. He constantly does that. He's constantly prodding us. Sometimes it's painful. And sometimes people give you words, and it might be, you might, oof, I don't really like that. But let me tell you, don't ignore them. That's what the children of Israel did, and it led them to exile. God removed them for a time, and then he shouted them back again. But don't do that, because it'll leave you in a spiritually dark place. And so the next thing that I want to say, and I just want to say this thing to you, in 1 John verse 2, it says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. In this church, Mark, you did a wonderful job when you got up last week. In this church, we absolutely preach this doctrine, and you must really hear what I'm saying. We preach the doctrine of justification, to know that you are a saint, to know that your identity is in Christ Jesus, to know that you have been adopted into God's family, to know how precious and how loved, and that you can't do anything else to earn God's love, nothing at all. I want to tell you, no good works will you do to earn God's love, but it does not stop there. Those that do not practice righteousness are not God's children. You have to practice something, so there is something that we have to do, and it's called sanctification. And it's that wonderful work that the Holy Spirit does with us into our hearts that comes to change us and comes to transform us and make us look a little more like Jesus. And God has been doing some rearranging with me. It's been a little painful. I've had to get down on my knees and say sorry for some things that I was doing, some habits and some mindsets that I'd got in. And God might have to say a few things to you this morning, a few habits, a few attitudes, a few mindsets that you've been going in. Because what we do here in this King's Church, we walk humbly before our God. because that's what brings all the power of God in this place, that we know who God is and we walk humbly. And so I want to ask you these questions. Do you obey the Holy Spirit's nudges? So these are for your cell group. Please don't do this thing, because I have known it before, that when I speak, because it's challenging, some cell groups don't always do the questions because they do something else. But please don't do that. It's not good. When God brings a challenge to the church, that's for us all to do. So do we obey the Holy Spirit's nudges and challenge? And will you allow God to rearrange you for purpose? Because it's for purpose. It's not for nothing. It's not to make you look a bit more spiritual. Because if you do not understand this doctrine of justification and sanctification that go hand in hand, God said to me, there will be a chink in your armour. And the enemy will be able to get into you, to deceive you, to make you feel not confident in who you are. There will be a chink in your armour. So you need to know both. They go hand in hand together. And so the next point is was about God's glory. And, oh dear. We was in a prayer meeting at the back. And this just started to pray with me. And I started to shake and I just couldn't stop. I just felt like God all over me. And because when God says that he wants to come, and this church will be a place where the atmosphere is heavy with my glory and presence. When that comes, you'll understand if you've ever read Psalm 19, and Janet didn't know what I was going to say, and in the meeting I had it open and Janet said, I've just got this scripture. I said, go Janet, then you read it. And we both exactly had the same scripture. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. And when the heavens start to declare the glory of God and the heaviness comes on us, it's in the glory of God are all his attributes of who God is. And when the heaviness comes down, when that heavy weight comes down on us, really what it is the heavens are really shouting out, and the shouting to the earth. So it says the declare, but that's what they're doing. They're shouting to the earth and they're saying, listen, earth. Listen, people. This is who I am, the God of love, the God who is glorious, the God who is all-powerful, the God who is splendid, the God who is mighty, the God who makes a way. And in his glory, this is what he does. He shouts those things. And let me tell you, when the heaviness comes, and it's coming, I'm going to tell you where it's coming, because we think it's here, but when it comes with the heaviness, this is what it happens to us. We won't be able to stand. And that is not any of us, whoever you are. And it doesn't mean to say that you will need to get down on your knees, because sometimes when you're older, if you got down, you might not get back up. But it means to say there'll be a bowing. There'll be an absolute bowing in your heart that you'll bow down to know how great and how powerful and how awesome God is. There'll be that in you. And so I just want to say, do you want it? Yes. Do you want to ask for that? Because everything that I know of when God's glory comes, so I love God so much. I can't tell you, and Dave will tell you. I love to spend time with God. I love to get down on my knees. I love to worship. I love to pray. It's the thing that I do from the moment I open my eyes, and it's the last thing that I do when I go to bed. And I'm praying all the day, like not ceasing to pray. I'm not over spiritual. I get things wrong. I say things that I shouldn't say, and I get in wrong mindsets, but I love God so much. I love his word and I love praying, and it's what has brought joy to my life. So I experience God, but let me tell you, I've experienced the heaviness of his glory. And in those moments, let me tell you, transformation comes. It doesn't come for a spiritual bless up. It doesn't come that we look a little holier. It doesn't look like, oh, isn't she wonderful? No, it doesn't. It comes to transform us. And I want to ask you, do you want God's glory to fall down on you like that, that transforms you for purpose, for a reason, for you to move, and to move into the gifting, to move into those areas that you're meant to be in? And sometimes what it is, because some people are getting on in age, please don't do this thing, because it's a terrible thing. Don't think prayer is just prayer. Because sometimes to be able to pray is the most glorious thing in the world. And if you're an interceder, and if you're a prayer, well, praise God for the interceders and the prayers, because they change things. They can move God's heart and they can move God. And so I want to say that to you, June. I know Ian stops you sometimes from going somewhere, but you can pray, darling. And you are a prayer, so keep praying. And so for all those people who maybe can't because of your physical state, pray, 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 pray. And I was thinking about John on the island of Patmos. And it was in his suffering. And God just tells, read it in Revelation 1. And God comes in all his glory and he sees this vision. And he turns round and he feels the weight of this glory. But you know, this weight of this glory, he saw the glorified Jesus. And when he saw him, what did he do? He fell down as if dead. He couldn't get any lower. He was undone. And that's what happens when we come under the weight of his glory. We get undone. We get unraveled. We can't get any lower. And then the last one is surrender. And so I had this sense that God was saying, surrender is the key that unlocks all the revelation of heaven. There's something in this bowing, and it's personally happened for me, bowing to everything of who you are. And I want to tell you, it's a process. I think we can say it with our hearts that we absolutely mean it. Lord, I surrender everything. And then the Holy Spirit comes and tells you just little areas. There's this you haven't surrendered. There's this you haven't surrendered. There's this you haven't surrendered. Because he doesn't come barging us. He comes nudging us. Just a little nudge. One degree of glory to another. He just comes and speaks those things to us. And he was saying in this surrender as well, stop limping between two opinions. Stop playing my lip service. When we come to give God everything, we'll stop doing that, limping between two opinions with our foot in the world and the foot in God's kingdom, wanting all the material things and the gain of just the earth, what it's shouting, you deserve it, this is what you need to be hankering after. And instead, you'll understand, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else, all the things that you need, will be added to you, because God's a good God like that. Yeah. He gives you everything that you need, not everything you want, because you'd be spoiled brats if you got everything you want. So all that crazy prosperity preaching that screams out, I'm going to have all else, I'm going to have all this, actually, it just brings disillusionment and disappointment, and it's not good for us. Because sometimes we have to suffer. And the Bible tells us in suffering, this is what has happened. Why are you surprised at the fiery ordeals? As if something strange were happening to you. God is doing something with you. So not everything for us goes rosy, rosy, rosy. It's not how the Christian life works. It didn't all go over, just go over Jesus' life. It didn't all go rosy for him. Look over Paul's life. He was in prison, beaten, mocked, spat on, flogged, shipwrecked. It didn't all go rosy for him, did it? He didn't shout and tell God, that's what you need to do. God does what he wants to do with us and in us. And so it says the Pharisees have been reading these things. Oh, they are good. If you start reading Matthew 23, whoa. He gets a crowd together and he says, woe to the Pharisees and the scribes. What he's saying is, woe to you hypocrites. Woe to you limpers about. Woe to you people who play lip service. What he's saying is, you keep all the outside all nice and clean, but the inside is messy. He says the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. And self-indulgence is just that you are thinking about yourself far too much. And how we all fall into those things. But what God is concerned about in surrender is your heart. That is a massive thing. And so that's what surrender does. And that's why God was saying it unlocks all the glory of heaven. It gets to the heart of it. And it is a process. So will your posture be to bow? Will your posture be to surrender all? Will your posture be to say to God, you're in charge? Will you give God full permission to do what he needs to do to you? Will you allow Jesus' love to wash over you? Will you allow the Spirit's nudging and challenges come to challenge you? Will you do some of these things? When we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can so easily do that religious thing, can't we? We just say the words, but it's actually God's rule and reign over your life. And when God rules and reigns over your life, you're saying, I'm letting go of my opinions. I'm letting go of my ego. I'm letting go of my pride. I'm letting go of my way around. I'm letting go of my will. I'm letting go of my emotions. I'm letting go of all those things that restrain me. And I'm saying to you, God, you are in full control of my life. And I know that that's been a process with me, and I've had to allow, even in these last few weeks, God to rearrange my mind and my thought pattern and do the things he needs to do in me. And I just want to say, I'm going to stop there. I write lots of things down and don't say a word I've said, so anyway, la-di-da. The Holy Spirit knows what he needs to do with us this morning. But if we want some power, we'll set our minds in the heavenly places. We'll let God rearrange us to see through these wonderful lenses that the God of heaven sees through these eyes of faith, that he'll enlighten the eyes of our heart and that we might come into the full knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, because we need that this morning. I want to say, if you would like to respond, if you would you like to just stand up now? Because I had some words that I felt God speak to me for some people, so maybe just put your hands out, listen to what the Spirit is saying. But I had a feeling that some people were just lost spiritually, and God is saying, he told me to tell you, you've ignored and you've resisted those nudges that I've been trying to nudge you with, and those challenges that I've tried to challenge you with. And even some of those encouragements that I've tried to tell you of what you can do in my name, but you've ignored me. You've ignored those things. And maybe in this moment, just in this quiet moment, you might just say to God, I'm sorry. Because God rearranges us because he loves us. He disciplines us because he adores us and we're his kids. It's not a blight on who we are. He just loves us. But you will know, because you will not be able to hear God's voice. God told me that. You will not hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. You'll go through the motions of reading your Bible, but you will not be able to hear in a clear way because there's something there that has hindered your relationship with him, because you have ignored his nudges. And then I had this sense that God showed me this trapdoor in a floor, and the enemy had put it there, but you knew where it was. And it's somebody who keeps going into something habitually, some sin. And you know that every time you do it, you fall down this trapdoor. And you get in a really, really bad place. And God is saying, you know where the door is. It was for freedom that you have been set free. Do not return to this yoke of slavery. You have got all the power because you've got the Holy Spirit. And when you surrender to who he is, so when you surrender your desires and your wants and your needs and your way around, and when, as you surrender, let me tell you, make Jesus your Lord and Master and Ruler, you will stop being in control and doing those things, because we have the power to say no to sin. It has no dominion over us anymore, for those in Christ Jesus. And that means it has no power over you, but you have got to resist it. You've got to say no to it. And I just feel that it's just this healthy understanding of holiness. And so I'm just going to pray. And what I would like you to do, don't rush off. There's going to be an opportunity, if you're struggling with something this morning, because God's here and the way maker's here. If you're struggling with something, come out for some prayer. And please do not go away. Just turn to the person and let's pray for one another, because I think it would be a good thing to do this morning. And so I'm just going to pray for us collectively. And let us do that. We're a church. We're together in. We're on a mission. And we're about God's business. And we mean business this morning. So let's not rush. If you want to escape, because I know some people will feel this is too much for me. If you want to escape, just go. But if you know God's saying something to you, stay. Lord, I just thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for this word. And we just want to say, Lord, today, that we expect these great things, because we thank you that when you rearrange us for a purpose, for a reason, and that's to move us forward in whatever thing that is. And we say, Lord, today we just pray that you would come by the power of your Spirit and impart a greater measure of faith to us, to believe for who you are. Help us to live from the heavenly places. Help us to stop looking to the things of the earth and to see that they're important, and to even get confused and messed up by those, and help us to set our minds. The first thing we do and the last thing we do. And then the Bible says we will make our way prosperous because we've set our attention and our gaze on the God of heaven. And we just pray, Lord, today that you will help us, Lord. Help us to understand your glory. Help us to want your glory in our lives. And help us to know that when your glory comes, it's to transform us and to change us. And we just say, Lord, today, we say we surrender. We say we give up. We can't do it of our own. We've been conditioned from such a young age to be independent. We've been conditioned to protect ourselves. We've been conditioned to be in control. We've been conditioned to be responsible for things that we're not responsible for. And we say, Lord, we relinquish all control. We relinquish everything, Lord, that would hinder us. And we say, Lord, we bow the knee today and we surrender to your authority. We surrender to your rule and reign. We surrender to your dominion. We surrender, Lord, to who you are, the God of heaven. We say, Lord, we can't get any lower. Undo us as a church. Undo us as a people. Undo us, Lord. Unravel us. Unravel these traits, these behavioural traits that have messed us up. Unravel us today. Unravel us by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need you. And this wonderful thing, I got this message. And somebody sent me this text. And they said, it's been glorious since they've been to King's Church. Because she said that her heart had been yearning for more of God. Let's be a church. Sarah, thank you. Let's be a church that yearn for more of God. Oh God, you are my God. My soul, it longs for you. Even in these dry and waterless land, my soul, God, it thirsts for more of you. My soul, it thirsts for more of you. Amen. Amen. And so please don't rush. Don't come out of this atmosphere. Just turn to one another now. Maybe turn to the people at the... Don't just play in your families. That's horrible. Turn round and pray with somebody else. And if you're on there, if you want to come down, and that'd be lovely. If you want to stay there, stay. But if you guys want to come down, and we'll pray for you as well, that'd be lovely. And if anybody wants some specific prayer that they're struggling, please come out, and that'd be great. It was wonderful to see you all. Let me tell you, expect great things.